first point, but we can adapt it.
Who knows what may come next?
Well, I'm upstairs in a hotel room in the city speaking to Chris Hanna from Propagandy. Welcome back to Australia, sir.
Well, thank you.
It was 11 years ago that you were last here, being that you are sort of at least one of Canada's most politically active bands, besides maybe Celine Dion. It's no surprise that you actually spent one formative year of your life living in Australia's political hub in Canberra.
That's right, I did.
What brought you to Canberra?
My dad was a Cold War fighter pilot. And he was on an exchange program with, presumably, some Australian fighter pilot who went to Canada. Mm-hmm. And so I sat there in Canberra while he flew some fighter planes around your airspace.
Was it weird for your dad when he first heard the lyrics of Propagandy?
I don't know if he would really have ever heard it. He wouldn't make that sort of effort. Like, he'd be aware vaguely of my values being reflected in the music, but he's not the kind of guy to pore over things I do and worry too much about it.
You've been writing political music for so long. How do you keep up?
Well, I don't keep up. It's not possible for someone to keep up with everything that's unfolding on the planet. But it's more about pattern recognition, I think. It's like, you know, after a number of years of immersing yourself in ideas, and things can become a little more predictable. Everybody reaches that point in their life, and it's a hard pill to swallow when you realize the scale of the problems we face.
And do you think you're saying you were watching from the margins? Do you think views that Propagandy expressed are still on the margins, you know, this many years in?
Structurally, mm-hmm. Everything we talk about is in the margins. Yeah. Of course, I mean, there's been groundswells and over the years in different veganism, for example. There's way more vegans per capita in Australia and Canada, I'm sure, than there was in 1994.
I'm talking to Chris from Propagandy. Last time you were here, there was actually a 20-minute gap in one of your sets at Wollongong Youth Centre when someone waited for a guitar strap that didn't have any leather on it to be attached to their guitar after you'd broken a strap.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember that, but I would still do the same thing, I think.
Really? Yeah. So you haven't softened up on any of those things?
Well, no, I just find that I would find it kind of just repulsive, you know.
Maybe these days you pack an extra guitar strap just in case.
I haven't packed an extra one yet, but that's a good idea.
I gotta say, leaving the show and walking up the main street to get to the train station, the number of Propagandy shirts I saw in a very well-known hamburger restaurant was a little disheartening, you know, just minutes after the gig finished.
Yeah, that's why I want to increase our door prices and our shirt prices, because then I extract the money from the economy of those people, and you know,
they can't afford the hamburgers after the show.
Yeah.
Being such a, you know, overtly political and band, are there people constantly trying to trip you up?
I don't think necessarily trying to trip us up. I do remember in Ireland last time I was drinking a particular brand of beer, and somebody said, "Oh, you might want to know that there's actually something in there that you wouldn't want to be paying the company for." And I was like, "Oh, thank you." I don't think since the early 90s somebody has challenged us on the glue in our shoes or something, you know.
Talking to Chris from Propagandy, one of the songs on the new album on Supporting Cast, Dear Coach's Corner, is about the collusion of sports and military propaganda. What was that about?
In Canada, obviously, ice hockey is our sport, mm-hmm. and we watch it religiously. Saturday night, there's a hockey broadcast called Hockey Night in Canada, and there's a segment on it called Coach's Corner. It features two really well-known hockey personalities. One is sort of the open-minded, knowledgeable, very friendly commentator, and the other one is a right-wing freak who uses his time in his segment to fetishize dead soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan.
And this is a show about hockey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's totally bizarre.
Well, there's a lot of violence on the rink.
That's regulated and consensual, whereas war is not, well, people claim it's regulated, it's not, and it's never consensual for the people who get killed. So I think it's completely different, but I do hear what you're saying. There's probably some connection there viscerally for people. I went to the Women's World Championships in our hometown, hockey, and I went with my niece, who's 6 years old, and at the end of the game, rappelling down from the arena rafters were a bunch of soldiers with guns as part of a, you know, just a demonstration. Canadian hockey is so tied in with these, you know, Armed Forces Appreciation Night and that kind of stuff. That and the game is supposed to be for kids. So why are you sending this message out about, like, my niece was the only person in the arena who said, why do they have guns? Like, was asking me, like, why, what is this? And, you know.
Aren't the hockey sticks enough?
Yeah.
You guys are Canadian, but a lot of the politics that you talk about is U.S. politics, or U.S. foreign politics. You guys were in America when Barack Obama was inaugurated. What are you sort of making of all that?
Well, I would say two things. One, it made me think about what it could do for young African-American self-esteem. And on the other hand, it made me laugh to think of Nazis and white supremacists waking up to a black president. Once you get past the novelty of those things, the same infrastructure that existed under Bush or whoever else in the past is still there. So people expecting this guy to be a messiah are going to be sadly and sorely disappointed, because he's indentured to the corporations that financed his campaign. That's how the system works.
He did have a lot of funding from, you know, individuals on the internet and stuff like that as well.
He did, but if you look at his list of major campaign donors, they're the same in reverse order as the Republicans. That's how that works. They hedge their bets, and his first order of business is to serve their interests and the people's interests. And people have to also consider another form of pattern recognition with politicians is that politicians are generally opportunists. They're not there because they necessarily are good people. They're there because they are ambitious for power. So, yeah, my only point is that the guy is a human being, not a messiah. And I would think that the only way to get anything out of this guy is going to be to hold his feet to the fire.
Is there anyone that's going to do that?
Well, hopefully the people of the United States don't just let him get away with anything, you know. Let him, you know.
Yeah. And finally, Chris from Propagandy, what would be the ratio of keeping yourself informed to practicing your guitar leads in an average day for Chris Hanna from Propagandy?
Yeah, I don't really spend a lot of time seeking out information. I'm pretty much like everybody else. I seek distractions and try not to get depressed.
And shred somewhere.
Yeah, and shred.
Awesome. Chris, thanks very much.
Thank you. Bobby, Marika, the doctor. On Triple J.